Well, this part of the Catechism, Lord's Day 11, question and answer 29 and 30. 29 begins the section describing and explaining the second person of the Trinity, whom we are to believe. Apostles' Creed says, I believe in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, etc. It is a section on the Son of God and our redemption. Question and answer 29 through 34 discusses His names and titles. Question 35 through 44, His humiliation. And question and answer 45 through 52, His exaltation. So now we begin to study the names of the Son of God. There are many names and titles of our Savior. I picked up a little pamphlet that explains 66 of them. You know, things like the Great Physician, the Bread of Life, the Man of Sorrows, the Resurrection and the Life, the Door, and all those and many others speak to us of the wonderful ways of His salvation and His person. Norman Jones, in his booklet study of the Heidelberg, says this: some names are taken from heavenly bodies. He's called the Morning Star, the Sun of Righteousness. Some from the plant kingdom, he continues, Rose of Sharon. Some the animal kingdom, the Lamb of God, the Lion of Judah. And Jones says, all of these names for our Savior are meaningful and describe the richness and greatness of the person and work of Jesus Christ. The most familiar names that we use of Jesus are the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the Catechism explains the name Jesus. We first find that name in Luke 1:31. The angel told Mary at the Annunciation he was to be called Jesus. Luke 1:31, behold, you shall conceive in your womb, bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Joseph thought Mary had committed infidelity, and the angel came to him. We don't know who the angel was there. It might have been Gabriel again, but an angel came to him in a dream this time, in a vision, and told him no, that this was of the Holy Spirit, right? That Mary had done nothing wrong, and this was of God, and this was of the promise. In Matthew 1:21, the angel said to Joseph, she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. He is to be called Jesus, the angel says, because he will save his people from their sins. The very name Jesus, contained in that very name, is the name Savior. In fact, it literally means Jehovah saves. Jehovah saves. God brings us back to himself by the person of Jesus. He saves us from sin. Sin separates us from God. Jesus brings us back to God. As I said earlier, it is the Hebrew name. It is a Hebrew name, and it's the Hebrew name Joshua. And Joshua was a kind of savior in a temporal sense. He brought the people into the land of rest. Now, Joshua was a type of Christ who would bring the people into salvation rest and eternal rest. Joshua led the people into the promised land of Canaan. Another Joshua, Jesus, would lead us to the heavenly promised land. And when you think of the name Jesus, remember Jehovah saves. God saves. Yahweh saves. He saves us from our sins. Remember then that Jesus came to save us and restore us to God. He came to save us from our sins and restore us to God. Jesus is the Savior. He is the only Savior, therefore, and He is a complete Savior. Many today deny that Jesus is the only Savior, or they deny it, even if they don't so directly and vocally say it. They deny it by adding something to Him and adding something to His merit. as it was in the time of the Catechism, which was written there in addressing Roman Catholicism. So it is today in Roman Catholicism. They're adding Mary to Jesus. They're adding the saints. They're adding their own merit to the work of Christ. And in this way, they deny that Jesus is the only Savior, don't they? When this catechism was adopted as one of the three doctrinal standards of the Roman churches in 1618 and 1619, it was in response to a heresy that had crept into the Dutch Reformed churches through a professor in a seminary, one Jacob Arminius, and his teachings, and then really, by 1618 and 1619, really, he was dead already. And so it really dealt with his followers, the Remonstrants. And they tried to add man's free will to Jesus. Man's free will and their own works, really, to the work of Jesus. Many religious people today try to add their free will and their good works. And we call that legalism. That's really what legalism is. When they're trying to be saved by law or by works or church attendance or religious exercise. They think that by doing these things, whatever they may be, by walking the aisle, by baptizing, by the Lord's Supper, that these things are adding to Christ, their religious exercises. They may claim Jesus. They may say they believe in Jesus. But they say or believe something like this: it's part Jesus and it's part me. Jesus does his part. I've heard people say this. Jesus does his part and I have to do my part. And even if they don't say that, they act like that in some ways. Jesus started it, I have to finish it. That's a dangerous one, a more dangerous one. Many people in the Galatian heresy, the Judaizers, Paul says, are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, you think you're being perfected by the flesh? Can't be. What does he say? He even says it in terms so shocking, you've fallen from grace if you believe that. In other words, you're not saved by grace. You're not saved by Christ. Many non-religious people say, my good outweighs my bad. Or they hope that, don't they? Or they say, I do the best that I can. And God will see that I do the best that I can. They, with all sincerity, they say that. They think that. And they think God will approve. Well, that the problem there is all our righteous deeds are filthy garments before God. Right? The problem there is you're rejecting the only sacrifice. You're rejecting the only Savior. So we have to make sure that we are trusting in Christ alone. Our works don't add to Christ. We do not merit salvation. Jesus came because we were sinners and we couldn't save ourselves. We were separated from God. We were aliens to God. We were at enmity with God. And our works, full of sin, never satisfy God. So Jesus came as the only one who could save. What Jesus did on the cross satisfied the Father. And all who believe in Him receive the pardon of their sins. He made full payment, and nothing more is to be added. Nothing more is to be paid. You know why? You think of the Old Testament sacrifices. They had to be offered continually, didn't they? Continually, the temple and the tabernacle was filled with blood. Constant sacrifices, constant bleeding of sheep. Not bleeding, but there was bleeding, but there was bleating, right? They were all over the place because they had to kill those sheep. The sacrifices continually shed, a graphic reminder of the incompleteness of those sacrifices. But Jesus, the New Testament says, the author of Hebrews says, died once for all. Finished. No more sacrifices. And even the Old Testament sacrifices, which were a type, finished. Because they found their antitype in Christ. They found their fulfillment in Christ. His one offering was complete. Hebrews 10:12 says, but this man, see, because it had to be a man like you and me. It had to be a righteous man. But this man, after he offered one sacrifice for sins forever, it's done. Then he sat down at the right hand of God from that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. Verse 14, Hebrews 10:14. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Nothing more is to be added. Jesus, of course, you know, claimed the exclusive way to God. Jesus was very intolerant in this way. He would be considered very intolerant today. He said in John 14:6, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. There's not many ways to God. All the religions of the world are not, at the bottom of the mountain, and they're all climbing the mountain, and they get to the pinnacle, and they say, oh, it's the same God. No, not at all. That is a lie. That is a satanic lie. So many people have been damned who believe that lie. It's only Jesus Christ. It's only. Acts 4:12, the apostles said, when they were preaching the gospel, they say, nor is there salvation in any other. There's salvation in no one else. For there is no other name given under heaven among men by which we must be saved. What are we to think of those who bow down and they pray to saints and they pray to Mary? What are we to think of those who look good? You know, they outwardly have good works and they obey the law and they want to be part. They want part of that to add to Christ. As long as they believe in Christ too, should we tolerate that? Should we say that's okay? Not at all. Whenever Christ is added to, Christ is taken away. You must understand that. Whenever Christ is added to, he is taken away. Question 30 says, do those who look for their salvation and security in saints, you see how they were specifically addressing the Roman Catholic Church, they were looking for their security in saints and themselves, or else will really believe in the only Savior, Jesus? No. Although they boast of being his, by their deeds they deny the only Savior, Jesus. Either Jesus is not a perfect Savior, or those who in true faith accept this Savior have in him all they need for their salvation. Beloved, Jesus is all we need. He is more than sufficient. Can't I believe in Christ and believe in Mary and the saints, etc., and my works? And Galatians 3:3 says, are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? In Galatians 5:4, he says, you have become estranged from Christ. You have been alienated from Christ, who attempt to be justified by law. Romans 3:20 says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. You say, well, it's just a little bit. It's just a little. No, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. The law reveals sin. The law does not contribute, and the law does not save. It cannot. Romans 11:6 says, if it is by grace, then it is no longer works. You see, it is that drastic. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. If you try to add works to grace, it's no longer grace. If you try to add to Christ, it's no longer Christ. You see? But what, can't we just pray? And I heard that all the time. Can't we just pray to the saints? Well, they're not going to hear you, for one thing. Can I just pray to Mary? She's not going to hear you in that way. What about the Pope? Or can I confess my sins to the Pope? Acts 10:25. The so-called first pope said this, Peter. Peter was coming in to Cornelius. Remember that? Cornelius met him, and Cornelius fell down at Peter's feet and worshipped him. And Peter lifted him up and said, "Stand up, I myself am also a man." The apostles did not allow for people to bow down to them. They directed people to Jesus Christ alone. Revelation 19:10. John falls down before an angel. He says, "I fell down at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, 'See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and your brethren, of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.'" God alone deserves this worship and this glory. Jesus alone deserves it. Romans 11:36, I'll close with this. Paul says, "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory." Above all else, you must not worship anything else, trust in anything else, add to Jesus, because God is glorifying himself through Jesus Christ. He alone deserves the glory. Let's pray. Father, we're so glad that you have revealed to us that Jesus is the Savior and the only Savior. Truly, we would despair if anything depended upon us, because you've also shown us our sinful deeds, you've shown us our sinful hearts, and we realize that if you should mark iniquity, no one could stand. But if you accept Jesus, and if you look at us through Jesus, if you receive us through Jesus, then we can come into your presence, and then we can be saved. And in fact, that is what you've done. Help us to embrace him alone by faith and never be deceived with the philosophies of men or our own hearts that want to add to it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.